Thank you, Steve. Good morning, everybody. We welcome all of you that are visiting with us. We're delighted to have you and hope that you'll come back and be with us every opportunity that you have. Appreciate the singing and all. Glenn, thank you so much for asking God to bless my sister. They called me this morning and said that she was, they had to put her in intensive care, but hopefully things will work out for her. Just keep praying for her. Glad to see you here today. Hi, Louis, Sam, and Osro, aren't they going to start being with us all the time over there, Jeff? I tell you, I told her when she told me that, I said, that's good news, and I want to tell everybody about that. This morning, I'm talking about, Troy wanted me to ask me before services, hey, what's your subject for this morning? And I told him, he said, well, you tell Mama, let her write that down for him. Bless his heart, he keeps up with my sermons, and I like that. In the book of Joshua chapter 4, there are so many wonderful lessons here that would help us. What mean ye by these stones? When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, and the Lord said to Joshua, let's listen to it. Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. There be at Gilgal. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed a man from each tribe. Stop for a moment. There's a work to be done. And Joshua, being the leader, has been told what to do, and it's going to be carried out. And the Bible says there was a man from each tribe. Joshua said to these people, 12 of them now, pass on before the ark of the Lord, your God, into the midst of the Jordan. They'd already gotten across the Jordan. They're to go back in. Notice it. And the Bible says, take up each one of you a stone. God's got something for you to do. He wants each one of you from each of the tribes to pick up a stone. And I never noticed the next phrase until I studied for the lesson today and noticed what he said. Take up each of you a stone upon your shoulder. God's pretty specific sometimes. He's telling them now, it's going to be heavy. You pick up that stone. And do what with that stone? According to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. There's a reason. That reason is, it's going to be a sign. It's going to be a memorial. They're going to do something so they be reminded about it. When your children ask in time to come. Isn't that interesting? Children asking you about something. Something that's happened before. What do these stones mean to you? Children asking, what do these stones that now have been erected, what do they mean to you? And then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And when it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. There's a reason everything that God has His people to do. Joshua was told to pick out one man out of every one of the tribes, then to go back into the Jordan, and they were to go in and pick up a stone, evidently a heavy stone, put that stone on their shoulder. Bring that stone out. And they are now encamping at Gilgal. And that's going to be erected. And it's going to be erected for a reason. So when your children ask you in days to come, what is the meaning of these stones. You'll be able to tell them. You'll be able to tell them there was a time when your fathers walked through Jordan on dry land. Going into the promised land, God had something for them to do. You know, is it really too much to ask of us to have our children and be able to answer questions that our children ask us about our faith? In 1 John 5, verse 3, the Bible says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." Again, in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me," Jesus said, "all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God wants us to do something, that is, to do His will. And then the Bible tells us, Jesus makes it clear in John 14, verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So we got to be ready. We've got to give some answers. Joshua said these stones are erected so that when your children ask you what do they mean, you'll be able to reply. My friends, this morning I want to talk to you therefore about giving an answer to those people, our own children. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." What mean these stones? Well, number one, I want to emphasize in the very beginning, these stones were put up for a reason. And that was to tell the people and tell the children what God had done. I want to tell you, I don't think we attribute enough to God, enough for all the good things He's done for us. Oh, how He's blessed us all. We are abundantly blessed in this life. And truly, these people were to remember something that's so important. One thing that brought this to my attention was what's going to happen Wednesday, September 11. You know what happened to in 2001. We know, and I had so much I was going to tell, but I want them this morning just simply to call your attention to something that happened in America. I know where I was when I first learned about it. You probably do too. And we can't believe that this is happening. Here it is these years since then. But do we even remember what's wrong? God has surely blessed us with so many blessings. And I want to tell you what, my friend. God wanted Joshua and these people to point out one thing about those stones. And that was that God was the one who led them through that dry land. We need to teach our children that it is God who has blessed us. Look at the homes you live in. Look at the cars that we drive. Look at the food that we have. Look at the good jobs. Things abundantly clear, wonderfully good to us. How many times do you thank God and tell God how grateful you are? How many times do you sit your children down and tell them from whence you came? Some of us came from some very poor backgrounds. Some of us know what it's like to be poor. Friend, what has God done? He's delivered us all. He's blessed us all. But do we give praise and honor to God and remember Him for all of His blessings? In James 1, verse 17, the Bible says that every good gift and perfect gift comes down from God in heaven above, He's blessed us with all those spiritual blessings and all the physical blessings in life. And then we hear in Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14, now let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Who said that? A wise man, what was his name? Solomon. What had he done? He'd experienced almost anything you could think of. Whenever his heart wanted something, he got it. But he learned one thing. And truly he wanted us to remember that. And he wants our children to remember that. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Fear there simply means a wholesome dread of displeasing God. I don't want to do that, and you don't either. We do not want to displease God. We do not want our children to displease God, because God is our God. Number two, I learned from Joshua chapter 4 that every generation has to be taught. It's a continuous thing, an effort. You forget to teach your children what's going to happen. Over in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I decided I'd just put all of those verses down. I want you to listen to them. These Israelites were taught, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You couldn't be in the home without God being talked about. And these kids are being taught over and over the precious Word of God. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. Listen to that. And houses full of all good things which thou fillest not. And wells digged which thou diggest not. Vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. God is saying, this is what God is doing. Tell your people. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord your God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. They would go through the house. Daddies would be talking about it. It was in the morning, at noontime, all the time. These people were being reminded of what? Reminded of the tremendous blessings they had received from God. Is it too much to faithfully teach our children to worship God faithfully? When you go to the Scriptures and you find in John 4, 23 and 24, but the hour is coming now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him, and God is a Spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Spirit involves the heart of the worshipers. Not going to do you any good what you do if your heart's not in it. God doesn't want you worship unless your heart's in it. And then He said, truth is the Word of God. That tells us what we are to do in our worship unto the Lord. Will it come a time when our children will not know those five items of worship? Because we failed to even talk about it. Praying, 1 Corinthians 14, 15. Giving, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Partaking of the Lord's Supper, Acts 20, verse 7. Preaching the Word of God, Acts 2, 42. Singing, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. What does prayer mean to you? What does it mean to our children? Pray without cease in Acts 2, verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And the psalmist tells us in Psalms 121 in verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the Lord, from whence cometh my strength. Pray in the morning. Pray at noontime. Pray in the evening. Let your children know that you don't just talk about prayer, but you pray. And you pray with them. If only we could hear our mothers pray again, so many of us. Pray for protection. Last week, when the hurricanes and the tornadoes, all the different activities of things that people were having to go through, I hope you were praying for others and ask God to help us. Sometimes we sing that song, Just a Little Talk with Jesus Makes It Right. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? And when somebody asks you to pray for them, are you praying for them? Let our children know that we are doing what? We're trying to teach them and show them why it's so important for them to pray. What does this table mean? The bread and the fruit of the vine? If your children come up some years from now and they ask you, Daddy, why are you going every Sunday? Why are you partaking of the Lord's Supper? Can you tell them? Would you do it any other way? Yes, friends, they need to be taught. And these beautiful hymns in Ephesians 5:19. Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make melody in your heart unto the Lord. Isn't that great? And when the children later on ask you, Dad, won't you think it'd be all right if we used the piano? Wouldn't it be fine if we could have us a group of people to entertain us? You can simply say, we worship God in spirit and in truth. And I'll tell you what, friends, and I love these new songs that we're learning. I think that's good. But there are also good songs that we've been singing for a long time that mean a whole lot to thy people. And we're going to learn the others. They mean a lot to us too. In a land where we will never grow old, how many times have we sung that? Tears come to our eyes, thinking of being someplace in that land where we'll never grow old. Or to hear the song, As the Life of a Flower. Beautiful song. Or to sing that song together, Rock of Ages. Ah, an amazing grace. Teaching our children by what we do. Yes, encouraging them to do the will of God and why we do what we do. Number three, children need conviction, not just convenience. These people were told they were to do what? When the children asked them, what meanest thou these stones? The reply would be, we were brought through the Jordan River by the God of all. Yes, be convicted. Conviction carries with it conformity with the will of God. In Matthew 6:31, seek ye first. Are you doing it? Putting God first? Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine. Jude 1, verse 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. What really does the Bible mean to you? I believe one of the preachers recently, I've forgotten which one, but they talked about how that the Bible still the bestseller. Why? Because it's truth, John 17:17, and by it we have faith produced. It's inspired of God, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And we're never to add to the words or take away from them, Proverbs 35 and 6, 1 Peter 4, verse 11, and we're to live by it. This book that I hold before you, though, how many of you read it? Study it. And study it with your children. And isn't it wonderful for them to ask you questions about your faith that you have because of this book? Yes, be convicted. What about marriage license? Got something new coming up, don't we? And preacher's not going to have to do what? No, they don't have to perform the ceremony if everything goes according to what they want to do. Marriage is still a bond. It's a promise that we make to God. What will our children, when they ask us about marriage, and they say, what is marriage anyway? And we respond, according to God, it's one man and one woman living together till death do they part. Not woman with woman. Not man with man. Though in America today, those people that choose that lifestyle can now get a marriage certificate designating a marriage that could not possibly be acceptable to God. Because of the marriage that God wants, the family that He designed, it takes a him and a her, God's order of procreation. What are we going to do? Why do you people not accept people in that type of relationship? You got an answer. And I hope, my friend, you've got that answer. And you know what God tells us. What do the poor and those that are hurting today, and most important, those that are lost, mean to you? Those 12 stones were more than a memorial. They represented a tremendous teaching opportunity, a tangible bridge full of meaning from one generation to the next. What do those stones mean to you? Are you ready for that question, ready or not? You're going to have to give an answer. Does the answer you would like to give harmonize with your daily habits? Will you live in such a way that you can unashamedly, easily, and naturally point the next generation to the God who is worth remembering and serving today? Because we're doing it. Yes. In the fourth place and conclusion, all of us have a past. Some things I've done I wish I'd never done. Said I wish I'd never said. Acted in the way I wish I'd never acted. Yes, we all have a past. But I want to suggest to you this morning, we also have a future if we're serving God today. Wouldn't it be wonderful to live like Paul? I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. Yes, He said, I'm the chief of sinners. I was, but now, I have a future. And that future is to be with God. This morning as we ask the question, what mean those stones? How about us? What does our lives and our children's lives, what do they mean to us? Dear, this is the same this morning, you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ. There's a stone that God's given to you, a plan, the gospel plan of salvation. Never take it for granted. Make sure your children know it. Make sure you do all you can for your children to obey it. Doing what He tells us to do to be saved. Hear the Word. Believe Him. Yes, repent. Confess Christ. And be baptized, and then live faithfully in the service of the Lord. That's what it all means. I was reading some comments from a writer concerning an individual His name was General William Nelson. He was a Union general in the Civil War. And he was in the battles in Kentucky when a brawl ended up in his being shot mortally in the chest. He had faced many battles. He had conquered a whole lot. Now he's facing death in just a few moments. As such, he was caught unprepared. And they said to him, "What can we do for you?" He said, "Get me a clergyman." "Why?" "Because I want to be baptized." In 30 minutes, he was gone, unprepared to meet God. Friend, if you've never been baptized, why? Jesus invites you to come to Him. We're encouraging to do that today. If you have not lived faithfully in His service, ask God to forgive you. Let us do all that we can to encourage you and lift you up. And may we be parents who, when our children ask us, "What mean these things that you do? What about the church? What about the things that you do in your life?" Give them an answer. Tell them. That's why Joshua said, as he picked out one out of every one of those tribes, and he told them to go and pick up that stone, put it on their shoulder, bring it out. And it was put in Gilgal as a memorial so that the fathers could answer the question concerning the children when they say, "What mean ye these stones?" If you're here today and you're not in the kingdom of God, you've never been baptized, arise now while you have that time and opportunity. And if you need to be restored to the Lord, ask God to help you. Won't you come to Him and obey Him? We're standing and singing this beautiful hymn to encourage.